Jesus is coming one day. Oh, glorious day. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1 and verse 7. When Jesus ascended back to his heavenly Father and those disciples stood assembled on that mount, there appeared an angel in Acts 1 and verse 11, and said unto them, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This Jesus which was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner even as ye have seen him go. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound. Jesus is coming. He's coming in glory. He's coming with the angels. He's coming in flaming fire. Behold, every eye shall see him. What will transpire when Jesus comes? What events will take place when the Son of God returns? First, he will raise the dead. All of the dead shall be raised. In Revelation 1 and verse 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth. I was dead and am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus has died. He has experienced death. He has gone into the Hadean world, and he has risen again. He has conquered death. He says himself that he has the keys of the grave and of death. In Hebrews the 2nd chapter and the 14th and 15th verse, the writer said, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus has taken upon himself flesh and blood. He became human. He took upon himself the human form. He was found in fashion as a man. And the reason that he accepted that natural state, so that he might destroy him that had the power of death. Jesus died so that he might conquer death. And the writer says he has delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death is an event that so many fear. Death is an event that so many dread. Some spend many years of their life fearing this one event that will take them from this life. And yet the Bible says that Jesus has taken upon himself flesh and blood so that through death he might deliver those who had the fear of death. Jesus has not only destroyed death, but he has taken from us the fear of death. In John 5, at verses 28 and 29, because Jesus has conquered death, all of the dead shall arise. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have the assurance of our own resurrection. He said, Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Do not be amazed Do not be surprised, for all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. There are episodes in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where He rose people from the dead. But Jesus said, the hour is going to come when all that are in the graves, both those that have done evil and those that have done good, there is going to be a general resurrection of all that have died. All mortals who have lived upon the earth and have tasted death, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be called from those tombs of clay. Abraham will come from the cave of Machpelah. Moses will come from the unmarked grave on Mount Moab. All of those who have died and their dust been scattered by the plowman, that dust will be gathered together at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the dead shall come forth from their tombs. In John chapter 6 at verse 44, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and I will raise him up at the last day. At the last day. The last day will be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last hour of human history will be at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, at that day, I will raise all of those up who have come unto the Father by me. In that passage that we noticed earlier, when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God shall sound, can you imagine such an hour? Can you visualize in your mind such a time? Why, Jesus is going to descend with a shout. The heavens are going to open like a great gigantic scroll. And Jesus in flaming fire with His mighty angels is going to come from the heavenly realm. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a trumpet like the sound that mortal ear has never heard before. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We'll behold the tombs being opened. We'll behold those whom loved ones that we have buried long ago arise from those tombs. The garb of death will be cast aside, and the dead shall arise. In the book of 1 Corinthians, at chapter 15, at verses 22 and 23, where the Apostle Paul discusses the resurrection of the dead, he says in these verses, for since by man came death, through Adam, death came. Adam and Eve were told by God Himself not to partake of the fruit that was forbidden of them. But through Satan's deception, they ate of that fruit. They listened to Satan rather than God. And as a result, they died. God had said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They believed God. They had not eaten of that fruit prior to that time. Perhaps they looked upon that tree just as they looked upon the other trees of the garden. Perhaps they even desired to partake of that fruit, but because God had said, do not eat, not only was there a command, but there was a consequence for the transgression of that command. And as a result, they had not eaten, but Satan deceived them. Satan lied to them. And they partook of that fruit, and as a result, they died. For since by one man came death, the writer continues, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Through Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead has come. through the righteousness of Christ, through His submission to death upon the cross and His burial in that tomb and being raised again the third day, comes our hope, not only a hope, but a surety, a guarantee, a promise that cannot be denied. We shall be resurrected from the grave. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. At the coming of Christ, the tombs will open. The graves will pour forth their dead. When Jesus Christ comes again, the dead will be raised. But when Jesus Christ comes again, He will also judge the world. There's going to be a judgment of mankind. There's going to be an hour of accountability. The Bible says in John 5 and verse 22 that God has given all judgment, committed all judgment unto the Son. God has given Jesus Christ the right to judge. Does He not deserve to be the judge? Should He not have that right given unto Him by God? After all, it was Jesus who was willing to leave heaven. It was Jesus who was willing to submit unto the will of His heavenly Father. It was Jesus who was willing to live upon this earth and endure the scorn and the rejection and the ridicule of man. It was Jesus who was willing to suffer the agony of Gethsemane and the agony of the cross. And so as a result of Jesus coming, living as man, living in human form, taking upon Himself flesh and blood to become the judge of all the universe, God has committed all judgment unto the Son. When the Apostle Paul charges young Timothy at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, he speaks of that charge being given by He who will judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. At His appearing, Jesus is going to judge the quick, those living upon the earth at the time He comes, and there will be those, and the dead. The dead shall be raised. And that great assembly will be gathered at the throne of Almighty God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give an answer for the things done in the body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear. Sometimes there are those who are members of the church who do not come to all of our assemblies. They omit Bible study from their life. They omit the evening worship from their life. They do not gather at the midweek service to honor God and give Him thanks for the blessings they have received. There are those of you who did not attend our meeting this past week, but you will attend this meeting. You will come to this assembly. I'll be there. You'll be there. All of the sons of Adam will assemble at the judgment. We must all appear. All appointments will be canceled that day. All plans will come to naught. Whatever we have in mind to do at that hour when Jesus comes, we will not be able to fulfill. Because we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. We won't make any excuse. There won't be any reason that will keep us from that hour and from that great meeting that will be held before the judgment bar of God. What a thought. To think about coming into the glorious presence to give an account, to answer for the way I've lived, for the deeds that I've done, for the words that I've spoken, for the thoughts that I've had. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. God is going to hold us accountable for the hours and the days that He has permitted us to live upon the earth. The Bible says in the 20th chapter of the Revelation letter, at the close of this book, verses 11 through 13, I saw a great white throne, Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. God is going to cast a great white throne in the universe, and upon that throne, Jesus the Christ is going to sit. And so august and majestic is going to be that throne, is that the earth and the heaven, the universe, will flee away. And all that will be visible and all that will stand out in that universe will be the throne, the great white throne upon which the Son of God will sit. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. A book is going to be opened. It's going to be the book of life. The Bible is going to be open. God is going to open His Word. A Word that He has given unto man. A Word that He has preserved. And then He's going to open the books of deeds, where the actions and the thoughts and the words of my life have been recorded. And He's going to judge us. He's going to decide where you and I are going to spend eternity. He's going to pass judgment upon that great multiplied millions of people. Can you imagine such an assembly? And judgment and accountability is going to be passed. The Bible says in Matthew 25, 31 through 33, in the words of Jesus, that the Son of Man shall come and sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him all nations shall be gathered. And as those nations are assembled there, the Bible says that He's going to separate them one from another, just like a shepherd will divide the sheep from the goats. There's going to be a great separation at the judgment. Parents, no doubt, will be separated from children, children from parents. Perhaps there will be a separation of spouses. Two people who have lived together upon the earth for many years, never been separated during that time from one another, but perhaps at the judgment they'll be separated. Friends will be separated at the judgment. It may well be that church members will be separated from one another at the judgment. The Bible says in those verses of Scripture that the Lord will place some upon His right hand and He will place others upon His left hand. He's going to separate us. He's going to separate the good from the bad, the righteous from the unrighteous, the pure from the impure, the faithful from the unfaithful, the obedient from the disobedient. He's coming to judge the world. And in that hour that He comes, He will deliver His kingdom. Jesus has established the kingdom. He has placed the kingdom in the world. It is a spiritual kingdom that performs a spiritual function, that of preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Christ, so that no man has to be separated from God and no man has to be lost in that hour, but no doubt many will. In the 15th chapter of the 1 Corinthian letter, at verses 23 and 24, afterward they that are Christ at His coming, at the coming of Christ, verse 24, then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Jesus is not coming to establish the kingdom. He's coming to deliver the kingdom. At His coming, at His appearing, then cometh the end. And when the end comes, He will deliver the kingdom to God. This earth was not created for everlasting endurance. This earth was not formed by the great power of God, so that it might last eternally. But rather, the end is going to come. When Jesus comes, the end of time is going to take place. The curtain of history is going to fall. Time will be no more. The waves of time shall wash against the shores of eternity. And the kingdom, those obedient souls that have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, have listened to all of His will, have faithfully obeyed every word that He has spoken, shall be delivered up to God. So says the Bible. In that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at verse 17, after the dead have been raised, Christ has come with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead have been raised. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead are going to be raised. We that are alive and remain upon the earth, those that have not experienced death, you see, it could be at any moment. It could have been yesterday. It could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow, but some tomorrow. Jesus is coming. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with the dead in Christ. We're going to be forever with the Lord. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, Jesus is speaking to those upon His right hand. And He says, "Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." At that hour, we're going to inherit that eternal kingdom. Upon the right hand are going to be the obedient. Upon the right hand are going to be the faithful. Upon the right hand are going to be the sheep who have been led by the shepherd. And the Bible says that Jesus is going to invite us into His eternal kingdom. The words of 1 Peter 1 and verse 11 say, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." An entrance into the eternal kingdom. Jesus is coming. One day He's coming. The closing words of that hymn are, "O glorious day." But for many, it will not be a glorious day. It will be a day of sadness. It will be a day of darkness. It will be a day of gloom. But when Jesus appears, He's going to resurrect the dead from the grave. He's going to assemble the families of men together for a great judgment. And He's going to deliver His kingdom, the righteous, to God the Father. He's going to send the others into the dark abyss of eternal hell. Jesus is coming. What kind of arrival will it be for us? What type of day, hour, will it be for us? Will we be among the righteous, or will we be among the unrighteous? How will the day of judgment fare with us? We are to live in view of this one great event. Of all of the events upon the calendar of God, only one remains: the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that He will appear without sin unto salvation. If you are unprepared, if I am unprepared for the second coming of Christ, then we need to use this invitation and this opportunity to get it right so that we'll be ready when He comes. We offer the invitation of Christ as we stand and sing.